but now revealed to his saints through the apostles and prophets. This is what Paul wrote. Now, the word used by the Bible is so wonderful because it says it was hidden in God. You know, if you have something that is very precious, you will not just, if you have such a big diamond, let's say, you will not just put it anywhere in your house. I think you're going to hide it in the bank somewhere and get a safe in the bank and hide that precious thing. If you remember the parable that the Lord said after he found that what? That great pearl, right? Or he found a treasure in that land. He just hid it. He didn't show it. And so, certainly, the kingdom is such a precious thing for God. If you're not seeking, if our heart is not seeking after the Lord, I don't think the Lord will reveal his secrets to you. Right. So let's take a look again. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. You know, in the New Testament, there are four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the first Gospel is the Gospel of the Matthew. Matthew is the first gospel. Why not John? If you were to rearrange, or if the Lord will tell you, I'll give you a chance to rearrange the four gospel. Which gospel are you going to put in the first? Maybe John, because John, John born again, behold the Lamb of God, right? And so much life there is wonderful, right? So how about let's change it? You cannot change it. This is the divine arrangement. Now, why does the Lord put Matthew in the very beginning? Because in the Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, the main topic is the Gospel of the Kingdom. The Gospel of the Kingdom. Kingdom comes first because this is in God's plan. This is most important. For me, John is most important. The Lord put John in the last. So we are always the opposite from the Lord. And a lot of people, they didn't want to read Matthew chapter 1 because of the genealogy. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, and then all the genealogies. You fall asleep when you read Matthew 1. Why is that genealogy important? To prove that Jesus Christ is the king. He's the son of David. He is the successor to the throne of David. And he's going to sit on the throne forever. He's the king. Matthew is the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom, of course, what is the most important king? A thing in a kingdom. The king. The king. Suppose, are you an American citizen? Yes. Who is your president? President? Do we have one? You don't know even the name of the president. My goodness, how did you ever become an American citizen? Maybe the first question in the naturalization is, who is the last president of the United States? You say, well, is it Washington? No, the king is the most important thing. That is why, especially in the book of Matthew, the gospel of Matthew, and this gospel of the kingdom. You know, we always preach the gospel of salvation, but you don't preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Now, if you go to, let's just Go to Matthew chapter 13, for example. The Lord talks about the parable of the sower. Starting in verse 3, and he spoke many things to them in parable. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, the seeds fell here, there, there, there. And of course, it also fell in the good ground. Now, what is this seed? Tell me. What is this wonderful seed that is sown? Apple tree? Apple seed? The Lord sowed apple seed. What seed? What seed is this? This is a special, wonderful seed. In verse 19, the Lord himself interpret and explain this wonderful parable, right? Therefore, in verse 18, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the salvation, the word of life, the word of what? Kingdom. Do you have this consciousness in your heart that you are reading the word of the kingdom? If you plant an apple seed, what do you get? Apples. You cannot build all of a sudden, you get bananas. You plant apple seed and you get bananas. That won't happen. That won't happen. So if you plant a seed of salvation into somebody's heart, what does he get?
Salvation,
of course. So many people just say, salvation, 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 salvation. All they think about is salvation. Because when they heard the gospel, they didn't hear the kingdom, they heard salvation. So what comes out is salvation. Apples, apples, and many more apples. Because you planted an apple tree, so what do you expect? Right? You're not going to get papayas. You're not going to get avocados. You're going to get apples. Now the Lord planted the seed of the kingdom into your heart. What is he going to harvest? Gene, what do you think he's going to get? Bananas? No, he is going to get the kingdom. He's going to get the kingdom. So let me ask you this morning, what seed was planted into your heart? This is the problem, because many times we just don't know. We fall short of his glory. We don't realize what was planted. I think a few years back, some of the workers there must have, I don't know, thrown a papaya seed or wherever in our yard somewhere. And one day, all of a sudden, I saw a papaya tree growing. What happened? We didn't plant any papaya tree here in Southern California. And all of a sudden you see a little papaya tree. Whatever you planted, you're going to harvest. So the Lord immediately, right in the Gospel of Matthew, he came and sowed the seeds and planted the seed of the kingdom. Why? Because this is what the Lord wants to get. And I'm so happy that he used this parable of sowing the kingdom, because it shows that the kingdom is a matter of life. It's a matter of life, because the seed is living. It's not a dead kingdom. The kingdom in this world today is a dead kingdom. There is no life. Just power. And you need a lot of guns to maintain your kingdom. You need policemen. You need an army. You need I haven't seen a living kingdom yet on this earth. Man's kingdom is the devil's kingdom. No life, full of death. But the kingdom of the Lord is a matter of life. That's why it started with a seed. Have you ever planted something? Yeah, yes. You know, especially in school, the teacher will give you a project. Oh, wow, you plant something. And then you water it, and then you see it grow. Right? Showing us that God's kingdom is a living kingdom. It's a matter of life. Fully different than our human concept. Fully different. Right? Because there is no such thing in our human world today. Well, you have all kinds of seed, but not the seed of the kingdom. But the Lord planted the seed of the kingdom. And then, continuing with this chapter of Matthew 13, verse 24, it says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of the heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds in his kingdom. In his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his ways. Tares. And of course, when it came out, my goodness, tares came out. So the servants of the owner came to him and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How come there are tares there? Now, let us see what the Lord said here, right, concerning the field and the good seeds. In verse 38, let us read in verse 38. The Lord explained again these parables. Right? The field is the world. The good seeds are what? Sons of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The sons of the wicked one. This is really another wonderful enlightening here. Right? We, the people of God, we are the sons of the kingdom. Because we're going to inherit the kingdom. And the false ones, the unbelieving ones, they are the sons of the wicked. You know, you need to be able to discern. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, you have the whole religious world of Judaism. At that time, everybody thought, my, this is a wonderful religion, right? Based upon Buddhist principles or some kind of a heathen principles, but based upon the scriptures, the law. So outwardly, it looks so wonderful until John the Baptist came. John the Baptist, you all know John the Baptist. He was a prophet, but he was different than that system of religion. John the Baptist was different. He didn't live in Jerusalem. He was not wearing the priestly clothes. He wore camel's hair, no tie, and nothing. And he was not eating those priestly food. He was eating wild honey and locusts. Would you like to eat locusts? And you don't like to eat locusts. He was quite different than the whole system there. So John the Baptist began to baptize people. Don't think you can be just like those high priests and Pharisees and scribes. They also came to John the Baptist, wanted to be baptized. You know what John the Baptist called them? Ye generation of snakes, vipers. I think I would be shocked if I was there. What do you mean they are vipers? They are the chief priests, scribes, vipers. And the Lord said the same thing to them. Ye generation of vipers. Right. If we don't see, and if we are not enjoying this wonderful kingdom life that is within us, you cannot discern, because we see things outwardly, but the Lord sees the heart, what is inward. Many times we don't see. Right? In Psalm 139 it says, God is the one who searches the heart. Right? And David says, Lord, search my heart to see if there is any wicked ways that is in me. How many times do you go to the king and have a heavenly x-ray? Did you have a checkup? When was your last checkup? Well, my doctor, if I see him, the first question many times and oftentimes is, when was your last checkup again? My last checkup. Well, Brother Muchang, when was the last time you had a checkup? I don't mean in a hospital in New York. I mean the heavenly checkup. If you are the sons of the kingdom, and you are for the kingdom, you need a regular checkup to see if something is not right in the heart. If our relationship with the Lord is not right, with the King is not right. If there's any darkness in our heart, right? If the enemy has any ground in me, well, you have to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want the enemy to have any ground in my heart. Right? We are the sons of the kingdom. The life that we receive is a kingdom life. And the Lord is going to build up his kingdom in an inward living way. That is why Paul says the kingdom of God is what? Remember the three words? Simple words and yet not simple. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This sums up everything, right? Because God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. His scepter is a scepter of righteousness. To be right according to God. Whatever you do, do it right according to God. In this world, there's no righteousness. It's all crooked. Lies, politics. If you're not a professional liar, you cannot be a politician, right? That's right. You have to be a professional liar. You have to lie so well that people will believe you. Then you can be the best politician. Right? This is the kingdom in this world. But in God's kingdom, no. It's the kingdom of righteousness. Paul in Philippians says, I do not want to be found in my own righteousness, no, but in the righteousness which comes from God through Jesus Christ. Christ is our righteousness. If you think you are right, but that being right is not Christ, then you are not right yet, or you are not right enough. How can I, being a crooked man, be right? So Paul's desire is to be found in his righteousness. Now this is an exercise of the kingdom. Sometimes you and your wife, you know, husband and wife, fight who is right. My goodness, we are both wrong. And both are wrong and fighting to see who is right. No wonder there was no solution. No solution. At the end, you have to quarrel and fight and because we are both wrong. But you know, if you are right according to Christ, you will not fight. You will not argue. Just let it be. What's going to be right? As long as you know in your heart, this is the righteousness of the Lord. Okay. You can say anything you like, doesn't bother me, it's okay, that's fine. No quarrel. The Lord was the only right one when he was on this earth. Did he quarrel every day, argue every day? You're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. And he was arguing all the time? No, he didn't. He had no need to argue with anybody. You know, if you are truly right, you don't need to argue with anyone. No need. This is the kingdom life that we have today. Then we'll have peace. Then you will have peace, righteousness, peace, and joy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for joy. I've never seen anyone quarreling that's happy, right? No, nobody who quarrels is happy, right? But praise the Lord. The Bible says, rejoice sometimes. Always, always. How can you do that? You say, that's the secret. So the kingdom is so wonderful. And the Lord says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the nations. Then the end shall come. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate the verses in Daniel chapter 7 this morning. Right, as early as the time of Daniel, about 500 plus years before Christ, Daniel already said very, very clearly, and three times in chapter 7, that the saints of the Most High shall possess the kingdom. But the Lord waited so long, and it's still not come, because we are not ready. If you planted a mango tree, you don't expect to get mango tomorrow, right? You start it with a seed, tomorrow you're going to harvest mangoes? No, you have to wait and wait and wait. I don't know how many years. Then you say, wow, mangoes are coming. But the first time, it's so small, it just fell off. It's no good. Then you wait for the next season, and then you put fertilizer, and then you get a bigger mangoes, and finally you get a first fruits. Wonderful first fruits. In Revelation chapter 14, you have the first fruits. Now, what are these first fruits? What kind? Bananas? These are the fruits, the first fruits of the kingdom. Those who will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, these are the fruits that the Lord was waiting for. So if you have this view of the kingdom, from sowing the seeds of the kingdom in Matthew, then you go to the book of Revelation. Wow, there is a wonderful harvest. That was a harvest time, and the Lord can harvest the first fruits. Those who can reign and rule with him. This is wonderful. Don't think it is simple. No, it is not simple. If it is simple, it would have been harvested already. It should be ready by now. But I hope it's going to be ready very soon. Then let us read chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. My goodness, we'll never come to Genesis 1. But it's okay. Let's forget about Genesis 1 for now, okay? Amen. The Lord here in chapter 11, he was talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist. In verse 9, just as an introduction, or verse 8, but what did you go out to see concerning John the Baptist? A man clothed in soft garment? Well, if you're looking for that, indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses, in the palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, John the Baptist was a prophet. I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he whom it is written, behold, I sent my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the way of the Lord. John the Baptist is the forerunner to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. Right. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not one risen greater than John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist was really great among all the prophets. Why? Because none of the prophets have seen the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, but John saw him. But then the Lord says, but he who is least in the kingdom of the heaven is greater than he, than John. Why is that? Because the kingdom of the heavens is a heavenly nature. John was still living in the age of the old covenant. Now it is the age, the coming age when Christ came will be the age of the new covenant. We'll be born of God, the Spirit himself coming into us. And unfortunately, John did not reach that point. He was beheaded before the new covenant started. Now, we are today in the heavenly kingdom. In the old covenant age, it was the earthly kingdom, the earthly Israel. But then the Lord said something which is important for us now. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers what? Suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. Why did the Lord say that? You know, John the Baptist was beheaded. He was a martyr, actually. He was beheaded. He was really violent. I mean, the whole situation, can you imagine? He lost his head. Are you willing to lose your head? You want to keep your head, right? You want to keep your head. But are you willing to lose your head for the kingdom? You see, he's not sure yet. You don't know what to do. You'll know when the time comes. When the time comes. But what about losing yourself a little bit at home? What about denying your soul life a little bit? What about suffering a little bit? What about when somebody offends you, you just put that offense aside and not to let it bother you, so that 3 nights and 3 days you will be in the deep, not being able to sleep? Are you willing? Can you do it? Yeah? Good. Tell me, okay? All right. Praise the Lord. That's very good. If you can do that, you think it's easy to lose yourself. The kingdom life is a life of a battle between light and darkness, between the flesh and the spirit. between yourself and the inner man, are you willing to really go through this battle, or you give in all the time? You surrender. What do? When you're about to lose your temper, what do? Who wins? Who wins? Your temper wins? Or a spirit wins? The inner man wins. Today, the fighting is not an outward fighting like a kingdom in this world, like in Syria, bang, 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 you know, boom. That's the kingdom in this world. People want the kingdom by war, fighting. It is really violent. That kind of violence is not what the Bible is talking about. Here, concerning our kingdom. Right, people demonstrating, fighting like in Ukraine and in so many places. No. Right. But the Lord is talking about another kind of violence. Right. Because the enemy is doing his best to press down God's kingdom. There's a warfare there. There's a warfare. It's the enemy, the principalities and powers against the Spirit of the Lord and the life against the church. That is why in the history of the church, from the first century until today, you can really see there has been so much persecution against the real believers. So much persecution. The violence should not come from us. No, it should not come from us. So here it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the Lord, when he was on this earth, they all wanted to get rid of the Lord himself, right? Didn't they? All the time they were just trying to catch the Lord. And they gave the Lord so much trouble, so much trouble. And then the Lord says, the violent take it by force. The violent. Meaning to say that you want a kingdom, you need to fight for it. On one hand, we're going to inherit it, but practically to be trained for this kingdom, you need to resist the devil. The Lord said, if anybody wants to follow me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. So if I'm not willing to, in a way, violently say no to my flesh, and I always give in, I always say, that's what I am. Oh, that's what I am. My feeling, I feel weak. And oh, okay. My goodness, I always say okay to my flesh. How can I inherit a kingdom? You know, unfortunately, we are always very violent toward the other, but toward yourself, you're always very sympathetic. You're so sympathetic to yourself, but you're always... Parents, you tell your children, no. But then we, as the father, yes. Or you say no to the others and you say yes to yourself. We need to be spiritually, quote unquote, violent to take the kingdom by force, because there is someone, the invisible enemy, who is preventing you from taking the kingdom. So anyone who always say, well, you know, that's the way I am, and you know me, I'm weak, and you know, I said, no, I don't. I don't know. Why are you weak when the Lord is living in you? Did not John or Peter, I mean, yesterday we saw in 2 Peter chapter 1 that everything concerning life and godliness and all the precious promises in the Word of God are all given to you. And they're all given to you. Why will you not take it and use it? And by diligence, add virtues, power, strength, the virtues of the Lord, right? It's not your own virtues. That is the virtues of the Lord. You remember when a woman just touches the hem of the garment of Christ, the Lord says, "Who touches me?" Everybody says, "Well, you're being crowded by so many people. What do you mean, who touches you?" But the Lord says, "No, virtues flows out of me." The Lord felt it. So you need to add that. Don't just learn doctrine. No, we need the strength, the power, the substance, the virtue. Then you will have the real knowledge. Right? And knowledge, you add self-control. Don't be proud. Knowledge makes people proud. Don't be proud. Right? And then endurance, perseverance. And then godliness, you add. Godliness. You need to keep on adding. And by the time you reach love, God, the very wonderful living God Himself, the entrance is, you see, wow, you come to the entrance, and there's a big welcome there. Right? You see, welcome. So, here the Lord tells us, no, it is not that simple to gain the kingdom, although it is rightfully yours. You are going to possess it, but the way to possess it is not by being lazy. Right? University is open. The degree is free for everybody, but you have to earn it. Didn't you earn it? Yes, by being lazy, sleep in, and you skip classes, and don't study, and finally, UC is just going to give you a degree. No, you earned it. You earned it. Right. So, hey, this is normal. This is the way it should be. Otherwise, how are you going to rule? Right? The company Apple certainly will hire many who are really trained at the university, right? Suppose all of the staff there, I don't know how many, are just kindergartner graduates. You're going to have real apples that big. Those apples, you're going to have apple. That's really an apple company. Huh? Yes, with worms inside. Oh, that's even worse. But no, definitely not. And so here the Lord spoke this wonderful verse. You know, many years ago, as a young man, when I read this verse, I said, "Okay, amen, Lord. Let's do it. I want to make it to the kingdom. Okay, let's do it. I'm going to take it by force. Right? Where you want to go and get it. Right. And this strength is provided by the Lord." Praise the Lord. It's not your own strength, but the Lord will provide everything that you need. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 121, what did you learn there in some of a sense? I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from Him who made the heavens and the earth. Praise the Lord. This is really wonderful. That This is how we are going to do it, to make it to the kingdom. Right? Amen. And the violent take it by force. Look at all the apostles. Look at all the saints in the early years. They were not afraid to die. They gave their life for it. Amen. And the Lord gave them strength and power to withstand. And in the book of Daniel, look at Daniel, the book of the kingdom. Was Daniel afraid? No. Even when they were young, they were very young, taken to Babylon, right? They refused the food of Babylon. They refused to enjoy the goodness of Babylon. No. Even as a young, as young people, they were even thrown into the furnace of fire. And Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. Praise the Lord. Are you afraid? Naturally, all of us will be afraid. But at that very point, God was with him. That's why he was not afraid. Right. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful kingdom. What a wonderful kingdom. And our Lord was not afraid. He went up to the cross. Yeah. So what did Paul say in Acts chapter 14? Let us go to Acts chapter 14. Paul confirms his word in Acts chapter 14. Because Paul was strengthening the saints, right? Paul and Barnabas was there, he says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, in verse 21, etc., and then we go to 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through much enjoyment enter into the kingdom of God. What does your version say?
Through many tribulations.
No. Many wonderful times and enjoy many wonderful conferences. Shirley will say, many wonderful conferences to enter the kingdom of God. How about that? We must through many meetings, enter the kingdom of God. How about that? What did he say here?
Many tribulations.
Many tribulations. How many? Many. You know, our tribulation today is different. Because nobody in Canada is going to behead you because of your faith, right? Not yet. Not yet. Okay. At least now, not yet. So, nobody is going to imprison you, lock you up today, or not yet. Right? At least now, nobody's going to do it. You can have your meeting at home. You can scream, I love Jesus, and people look at you. Yeah, some will say, me too. Nobody's going to give you much tribulation. So what kind of tribulation do you have? From yourself. From your flesh. Galatians 5 says, but I say, Paul said, walk by the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the desires, the lust of your flesh. You are eaten up by your own lust. And so you get a lot of self-inflicted tribulation. At the end, you have a lot of trouble, as I tell you. But you choose to have it, so, right? But that is not really the tribulation that the Lord wants us to have. That it is the flesh fighting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Let us go to Galatians 5. Let's just take a quick look. Beginning in verse 16. Oh, time is up again. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, today the tribulation is the lust of the flesh that's going to pull you down. Not so much the outward people laughing at you. What can they do to you? Preach the gospel to you, people, colleagues, and they just smile at you. Nobody's going to fight against you. At most, what are they going to do? Lock you up? Beat you up? Get an axe and hit you in the head? Or what? They're not going to do that. Right? It says here, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now, the spirit here should not actually be just capital letter S, because today the spirit is within our spirit. So it is your flesh versus your spirit. So where do you want to be? This is your choice. Many times you want to crack a joke, say something, the spirit says no, but your lips are so itchy. Your tongue, you have to say it. Once you say it, a little bit of kingdom is gone. A chip, slice of the kingdom is gone. So what do you decide? Do you want a kingdom or you want a joke? The kingdom. Oh, Lord Jesus. Many times I want to say something to react. When the word comes here, I swallowed it again for the kingdom. Don't say it, because if you say, there's going to be an explosion. Argument, fighting. Why? So, are you for the kingdom? Are you not for the kingdom? Don't think it is a small thing. It's not a big thing anymore. Nobody's going to put you into the lion's arena and let the wild beasts eat you up. There is no such arena in Toronto. Not yet. Not yet. I don't know when they're going to start again. But, you know, none. Nobody's going to burn you in the wooden stake. Nobody's going to cut your head off in the guillotine. But now this fighting, this violence is the spirit versus the flesh. And what did it say here, the works of the flesh here? Adultery, my goodness. Fornication. This is going to eat you up. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, right? Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, etc., etc., etc. At that time, there is no such word of etc. So it's and the like. That means there are many more in the list. There's going to be a long list here. Now, Paul says, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such a thing will not go to heaven. No. Will not inherit the kingdom. So what is going to stop you from getting into the kingdom? Inheriting your kingdom. Are you willing to stop the flesh? Are you going to let yourself go? Just to gain a little bit of, I don't know what, you're going to lose your kingdom, just like Esau sold his birthright for what? For 20 million pieces of gold? No, for a bowl of soup. For a bowl of soup. How much is a bowl of soup? A dollar. A dollar. My goodness, just because of a little enjoyment of your flesh, you want to sell the kingdom for $1. If you want to sell your kingdom, please come to me, I'll buy it, okay? For a dollar. I'll give you $2. John, if you want to sell the kingdom, please come to me first. Especially if you're going to sell it that cheap. I'll give you 10 times the price you ask for. This is how pitiful we are sometimes, just for a little gain and enjoyment of our flesh. My goodness. We give up the kingdom easily. Will you be doing that? I hope not. Right. Remember what it says. Those who practice such thing will not inherit the kingdom. The word is plain. The word is clear. And God will stand by his word. He's not going to change. Right. So, you need to be a violent man, not against the brothers and sisters, but against your flesh. Against the self. And you say no. You stand with your spirit and said no to the flesh. Say no. Because I don't want to lose the kingdom. I want to inherit the kingdom. I am an heir of the kingdom. I'm a son of the kingdom. I have the kingdom life within me. Lord, I don't want to miss the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Time is up. Yeah. May the Lord have mercy on us. I hope that by the word, simple words in the Bible, the Lord will break through and will impress us that we will be for the kingdom today. Amen.